Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I'm Adam Kimmelman and Mike Morial. We are here at the NHL Scouting Combine in Buffalo. Part two of our Combine coverage. And business has picked up. The prospects, the GMs, the scouts, everything is back clicking like it did 3 years ago the last time we were here.
Absolutely, Adam. Glad to be with you on NHL Draft Class for part two of our NHL Scouting Combine shows. And, you know, it's interesting. You come off the elevators. You go to where the players, it's like the prospect lounge, right, Adam?
Mm-hmm.
And they're all there. They got bubble hockey going on. They got I think they have a ping pong table as well. Or you know what it is? Video games.
No, it was. They have a ping pong table also, and they got. I think they have like a little place to try on gear and shoot balls and
tons
shoot
of gear. The skates.
But what it is? But it's just like it was like 2019, and you feel at home, right? There's like a feel of familiarity and comfort and like, this is the way it should be, right? We miss this a lot.
And I tell you what, it's really nice too when you get on the elevator, you come up to the suite level, the doors open, and what's right in front of you, Adam?
All coffee. The coffee.
Holy smokes. I'm telling you, 3-4 cups, I'm in my glory.
You're like the kids when Willy Wonka took them into the factory.
That's it.
And it's just like the chocolate pond is everywhere and everything's edible.
You are except absolutely for you, right. It's finally, you're right about something.
All right. People don't want to hear about your coffee. What they do want to hear about is the fact that we're going to have Logan Cooley, the number two skater in Central Scouting's final ranking of North American skaters, coming up in a bit. But first, we're going to talk to Jack Hughes, the freshman at Northeastern University and the son of Montreal Canadiens GM Kent Hughes. Kent was hired in January, and then when the Canadiens won the draft lottery in May, he was asked if the Canadiens would be drafting Jack with the number one pick. He pretty much said, no way, but Jack had a pretty unique response. It's pretty funny. Let's get to that interview with Jack Hughes. So there's 32 teams here. How many are you going to meet with during the interview portion?
About 26 or so.
So that's most of the league. It's pretty good. There's one team in particular wondering about if you're going to meet with Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah, I meet with them on Wednesday. I think my dad told me that he wasn't gonna be in the room for that one. I'm not sure if he'll surprise me or not.
Were you able to prep at all as far as what Montreal might ask? Did you ask him, hey, what are they gonna ask me? What are they gonna wanna know?
No, not really. He's kinda just threw me into the fire, I guess, or is throwing me into the fire. I'm hoping he's not in there because he'll probably know every question that I won't be able to answer. So
this is a big moment for you, you know, like, but is there still that intimidation factor when you walk into the room in this kind of setting?
A little bit. Yeah. It's a little bit different for me. My dad growing up, being an agent. So, you know, he'd have certain clients who would come over for dinner, stuff like that. So, I've met a lot of his clients in my day. So, you know, to see guys who you usually see on TV, it's not quite as much of an intimidation factor, but I definitely had some nerves, this morning going in, but, after the first one, I felt a little better.
How proud are you of him to, you know, earn the position as a general manager for the Montreal Canadiens, a franchise, such an historic franchise? I'm sure it was at first there might be some pressure there, but for him and for you as a family, it must be thrilling for him.
Yeah, no, we're all really excited for him. I mean, we know he's going to do a great job. We think he's done a great job so far, but kind of, you know, I never really would have guessed or pictured him being a general manager one day. Despite it being something that he'd want to do or something that he'd be good at. But it's just cool to see, like, for all of us to see him, especially, you know, when you throw in the Canadiens game and he's on TV up in the box, it still feels a little bit weird to watch him up there.
So I got to ask you, there was somebody had asked him a question about taking you, you know, they asked him in the auspices of, what are you going to do with the number one pick? And somebody, I guess, made a joke, said, well, what about your son? And he said, no, it's not going to happen. And you beaked him on Twitter, bad decision. What was the response from Dad when he saw that?
Well, I wanted to run it by him first in case he didn't want me to. So I sent it to my family, and my mom said, "Yeah, do it." and my brother was like, "Yeah, I think you have to do it." I talked to them later on that day, and my dad was like, "It your mom said your tweet's kind of blowing up. Like, what's going on? That was just all in good fun. But I was surprised to see that it kind of got that big.
As long as Dad got the joke, that's all that matters, right?
Yeah.
How did you prepare for the combine, Jack? Was there a lot of preparation at Northeastern? Did you prepare, at the college, or did you need to prepare? I mean, knowing what's upcoming for you in the testing portion of this.
I've been preparing physically for the last, 2 months or so, since we started training as a team, since the season ended. But it hasn't been too different compared to what other guys are doing on my team in terms of training. I'm still trying to get stronger for next season, but at the same time train for this and try to do well in the testing. But I think last week, 2 weeks or so, I've switched it up a little bit on based on what I've been doing in terms of training. But for the most part, I haven't done anything too special or too different.
Did Riley attend the combine?
He didn't. No,
he didn't. All right, so he couldn't really go for advice there. But maybe did you ask your dad some questions about it and what to expect? Not necessarily from the interviewing portion of this, but from the testing with the bikes and all that stuff.
A little bit, yeah. I do know a couple guys who have come to this in the past. So even one of my teammates, a couple guys who I just texted, reach out to really see. But they just kind of said nothing. It's nothing too crazy, nothing you won't be ready for. So just enjoy it.
Have you tried training on the bikes, either the Wingate or the VO2, just to kind of get a feel for them? And what was that experience like if you did?
Yeah, somewhat. I tried to do the VO2 test with my trainer. It was sort of some outside person who kind of ran it, and none of us really knew exactly what the test was. So I didn't do it right. I only went for about 6 minutes, and then they just told me to stop. And I was like, that doesn't exactly seem right. I think I'm supposed to go longer. But I've done some 30-second bike tests, different things like that to train for it.
Talk about your season at Northeastern. Were you able to show the scouts your full potential, what you can do, your full game during your season?
I think at certain points, yes. I think it was a little bit difficult for me, to score, produce like I have in the past playing in college hockey. But I think over the course of the year, I got better. And towards the end of the year, I think I showed what I'm capable of.
What was it like playing with your brother, getting a chance to play with your brother, Riley?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. He was a little bit harder on me than maybe some of the other guys or some of the other freshmen, but it was cool. I got to play on the same line as him too, so that was pretty special. I kind of felt like I knew what he was going to do with the puck a lot of the time, so it made it a little bit easier to make reads off of him.
What do you feel is your greatest asset on the ice?
I would say my hockey sense, hockey IQ.
And I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, that was a
yeah, I was going to say, what do you feel is probably your most underappreciated asset? Maybe scouts don't know too much about.
I wouldn't say it's underappreciated, maybe undervalued, maybe my skating. I think, it's something I've been working on. It's something I still need to work on. But I do think that, I am pretty quick. I want to play with more pace and more speed overall in my game, but I don't think that attributes to my skating necessarily, just sort of the way I play the game.
So there's another Jack Hughes who's already in the NHL. I'm sure you've been asked about this a lot, but have you been confused from on Twitter? Have you been confused from on social media? What's it been like since he's had this breakout hockey career so far and you're kind of trying to get to where he is? What's that like having the name of a guy who's already sort of a little bit famous?
Yeah, well, it definitely made it a little bit more confusing because of Luke Hughes playing on the same team as him. So even people would confuse me and him and then his brother. I remember somebody told me, good luck at Michigan next year. And I kind of just went with it. I was like, yeah, thanks. I appreciate it. Maybe he'll figure it out one day. But I think it's pretty funny. It's just kind of crazy. There's two Sebastian Ajos too. It's a crazy coincidence. And I remember a few years back, my brother actually was playing against Jack when he played for the 2000 Mississauga Rebels, before playing for the national program. So it's just kind of crazy, like, to see that. And I was like, oh, wow, there's another Jack Hughes. And then 2 years later, he's the first overall pick. It's just kind of like a small world.
What is your middle name?
Dylan.
It's Dylan.
Yep.
So if you do happen to be drafted by the Devils, you're probably looking at a J.D. Hughes.
Yeah.
And the other one would be
he would just
the other
be
Jack
Hughes.
Is J.R. Hughes. So
I think he would just go Hughes because he's been there first.
Hughes.
Right? Yeah. We'll deal with that. We'll deal with that when it gets to it. But when you're not here at the rink, what do you do? How do you sort of get away from all the pressure and all the stress of the draft season, college hockey, maybe getting to the NHL at some point? How do you get away from all that?
Just kind of in general, it's like it's a long season physically and mentally. I like to relax. Like I'm at school still right now in summer school. So all my teammates are there. So we have early mornings class too. So we like to, you know, we're pretty tired at the end of the day. We like to relax, you know, watch movies, different things like that. But typically like I like to golf, weekends. I like to golf, when I'm not as tired. But it gets pretty competitive too when we get out there on the course.
Who's the best golfer on your team?
Hopefully by the end of the summer, it'll be me. That's what I'm trying to get to.
All right, let me ask you this way. You or Riley, who's better?
Oh, me, yeah.
Yep. No hesitation there.
You know, it's also kind of crazy, Jack, is the fact that, you know, the NHL draft is in Montreal. So your dad gets the first pick. Obviously, it's not going to be you, but you'll eventually be drafted at some point. Your dad's going to be there with the entire family. That's pretty meaningful, huh?
Yeah, definitely. Both of my parents grew up in Montreal. So we go all the time. Like since we were younger, we go visit my grandparents, family, friends. Our cousins used to live in Montreal. So it'd be really cool, especially seeing my dad down, not sitting up with me or my mom, my brother, sister. I'm really excited to be there and just kind of experience it all.
When it came time to make your decision for this part of your future, why Northeastern versus maybe going to play in the CHL? What sold you on college hockey?
Since I've been younger, my parents have always stressed that, you know, you don't play hockey your entire life. You know, even if you're Jaromir Jagr and you play till you're 45, there's still plenty of life after hockey. So they've always been big on school and told me the importance about school. So I wanted to be close to home when I went to school. Ultimately, like it was a pretty easy decision for me to want to go to Northeastern.
How about favorite NHL players? Any players out there you like to watch and maybe emulate a little bit of what they do on the ice?
I like to watch Patrick Kane a lot. It's hard to do what he does. I think I have to say Brad Marchand's my favorite player. Just growing up in Boston, being a Bruins fan, see him getting under guys' skin, different things like that, different stuff that I like to think that I do pretty well. But those two are two of my favorite. They're pretty special players to watch.
Any superstitions or anything you do before a game, before you get on the ice with your equipment, anything like that?
I kind of have the same sort of game day routine. You know, I've had for the past years. But, you know, depending on how I played certain games, you know, sometimes I put my left sock and left knee pad on before my right. Other than that, not too much, just different things in warm-ups. I always do the same routine in warm-ups where it's like depends on, you know, I'll stick handle over in this corner, pass puck over here, and then start doing the warm-up that everybody else does, different stuff like that.
As a freshman, Jack, how do you think college hockey helped you this year? I mean, obviously going up against older guys, bigger guys, how did that benefit you?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely had to, you know, stress certain things in terms of my defensive game. You know, over the course of the year, I think, you know, I struggled at the beginning of the year and the middle of the year with certain things, playing against bigger guys and I think I got better as the year went on at, you know, getting body position in the corner, stuff like that, finding different ways to not get knocked off pucks as easily, and defending quicker and harder because, you know, teams attack pretty quickly, and there's some pretty talented players in college hockey. Yeah.
I know Marchand, you said before, Marchand's a guy you enjoy watching, but is there anybody that, when you're watching NHL, says, that's who I play like? Is there a guy that kind of stands out and says, that's my game?
In the past, I've always loved watching David Krejci. I wouldn't say I play exactly like him, but I definitely think I have some similarities to him. Obviously, he's not with the Bruins anymore, but he's, you know, not an ultra-fast skater, but he's very smart. He's skilled, slows the game down a little bit. And that's kind of, you know, the gist of, you know, what my game is and what I try to do.
So what do you have to do during the offseason? And I know you said getting stronger is certainly a focus, but there's something, areas of your game that you really want to improve going into next season?
Yeah, I want to improve on my game playing away from the puck and playing with speed overall, playing with more pace. Things like, you know, getting back harder so I can be below pucks on the breakout in the neutral zone and not just posting at the blue line when I'm the center and it's my job to get back and swing low because that's where I think I'm best is when I have the puck with speed and I'm carrying the puck in zone entries and stuff like that.
So your brother was drafted by the Rangers. Is there talk that perhaps maybe someday down the road, if you could be drafted by the Rangers, or you're going up against your brother who's playing for the Rangers, is there any talk of that in the house?
I think we're a little bit ways away from that, but I think that's probably something that my mom would think of before me or my brother. I think she's made comments about me maybe getting drafted by the Rangers, how cool that would be. But that's something that it's obviously a dream of both of ours, but I think maybe my mom, it's my mom's that's dream right, yeah. at the top of the of list to see us play together against each other.
So if you play against each other, is the no fight rule already in place if you guys get to the NHL together?
I don't know. I think we still have a little bit of unsettled business. We haven't really fought much since I was probably around like 13. So he used to rough me up. I maybe got to surprise him a little bit.
Was your sister involved in any hockey games or?
Yeah, she played. I think she quit in middle school. She played lacrosse, so she wanted to focus on lacrosse. But she'd played. My dad coached all three of us at one point when I was much younger, and I played for my town. My sister played as well, and we were on the same team, which was pretty funny. I don't remember it too well, but I've seen pictures.
So, is dad a better coach or a better GM?
I don't know. I think he's probably got a little bit more experience. Not that he's had experience being a GM, but he's had experience watching players and their development. So I think probably as a GM, just because you might get a little out of hand yelling at me or my brother when he's coaching us. But besides that, he was a very good coach.
What do you think, Jack, in today's NHL? I mean, the game seems to be changing just a little bit. It used to be teams maybe stressed a lot more big physical guys that can handle the intensity of the Stanley Cup playoffs like you're seeing now. But now it seems like a lot of teams don't mind those skill players, you know, maybe average size players. What do you think, you need to do to eventually play in the NHL? What kind of player do you need to be?
Yeah, I think, you know, if I'm going to play in the NHL, I want to play the way I play now. Obviously, I need to improve on certain areas of my game, but I want to be a 200-foot playmaking center. I think you see it still today in the playoffs where some smaller guys are not as physical guys or guys who don't compete quite as hard struggle more in the playoffs than they do in the regular season. So I think that's the biggest thing for me is keep competing, keep, you know, bringing it every game. And when I get bigger and I get stronger, that'll help me more.
All right, I got one about the interviews. There's always weird questions, different questions, questions that are just kind of thrown out there to put you off. Have you gotten anything weird, anything strange in the couple you've had so far? Or have you heard any stories from any of your buddies that said, I got this, I don't know what to do?
Yeah, I haven't really had much like that threw me off. Some are definitely difficult to answer. I remember one of my buddies who got drafted last year was telling me, I can't remember what team it was, but he was saying that they asked him, they said, if you're the captain of your fleet and you could choose to sacrifice one ship and the rest make it, or you can choose to try to save everybody. Like, which one are you doing? And he said, I'm trying to save everyone. I'm not losing people if I don't have to. Something along the lines of that. And then they told him, oh, well, everybody died.
All right, then.
Here's a question for you. So an NHL team tells you you can play one season in NHL and win the Stanley Cup, or you can play 10 seasons and not win it.
Yeah. I mean, that's a hard one just because it's everyone's dream to win the Stanley Cup. But I think if I play 1 year and win the Stanley Cup, I'm probably not making much of an impact on that team. I don't know. I'd like to say if I play for 10 years that the team I play for is going to win a Stanley Cup. But I'd probably say I play for 10 years because that's my dream to play in the NHL. And obviously the ultimate goal is winning. But I feel like I definitely wouldn't be much of a player on that team if I'm only playing for 1 year. Yeah.
Thanks, Jack, for joining us today on NHL Draft Class. This was great stuff.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
Jack Hughes, he's number 26 in the final ranking of North American skaters. Chance he could go lower end of the first round, but Mike, so much good stuff there. He's such a good kid.
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, first of all, you know, talking about him and his dad being the general manager for the Montreal Canadiens and that whole ordeal with at the draft lottery, right, Adam? It was so funny. And the fact that he's, you know, he can joke around, he can get into it, but he was also serious about his play and what he can do as a player. And we expect him possibly to go maybe second round. He described himself as a playmaking forward. He said his two biggest assets were his skill and his hockey sense. He likes to make plays, and he also said he thinks he makes players around him better. And that's what you want to hear out of a top prospect.
Right. That's the biggest thing, like especially the position he plays. You want to elevate your line mates. You want to elevate the guys around you as well as elevate your own game. And, you know, look, it wasn't a brilliant season for him at Northeastern, but his first season of college hockey. So not everybody's going to come and be Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews right away. He's going to need some time to grow. Whatever team drafts him, late first, early second round, there's going to have to be some patience there. But he has the look of being a pretty decent, he's got a chance to be a pretty decent NHL player.
Absolutely. And it was also funny, you know, we got into it with the Devils, Jack Hughes, how he's mistaken all the time. He said whether it's Instagram or Twitter, wherever it might be, people seem to think that we might be brothers or something.
Well, I like that he said he gets mistaken for Jack Hughes online and Luke Hughes in person. And like, having seen Luke Hughes, the hair is similar. I think that's pretty much about it, but... I mean, look, I guess if you're going to go through with that name, you got to have a good attitude about it, and he absolutely has a good attitude about it.
Yeah, and he does, right? Because they're actually saying, hey, doing a good job at the University of Michigan.
Good luck
at
Michigan.
And here he is going to Northeastern and Hockey East, so it's completely opposite.
Yeah,
so,
good luck at Michigan. Thanks, yeah. I guess. Yeah, that was good. Yeah, good kid. So, you know, we know Jack's going to go probably, you know, somewhere in the top two rounds. But Logan Cooley, he's a guy that we agree is going to go much higher. Top three, maybe. We talked to Dan Marr, the director of Central Scouting, on a previous episode of NHL Draft Class that I definitely encourage you to go listen to. He said Cooley is one of the guys that could be a number one pick. You know, Shane Wright, Yuri Slavkovsky, Joachim Kamel, and Logan Cooley. So let's get to that interview right now with Logan Cooley. How's this week been going for you so far?
Good. First of all, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's been a busy few days here. It's been, you know, I'm just trying to enjoy it, soak it all in. You know, it's a pretty cool experience what, you know, the guys are going through here, and, you know, I'm just trying to have fun.
So I'm wondering, you're going to meet with teams. The GM says to you, why should we take Logan Cooley with the number one pick of the draft? What's your response?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm a very dynamic, electrifying player to, you know, be on the team. You know, I think my work ethic, my compete, my two-way game, you know, I think it's at the top of this class, and, you know, I think I've showed that over the past 2 years.
What was special about the National Team Development Program this year, Logan? Obviously, you had a great season. You did a lot of international work, too, which is why you might have had a fewer games than your teammates there. But what did you like about the NTTP and what that team was able to accomplish this year?
Yeah, I mean, it was an unbelievable experience. You know, it was something that, you know, you don't really get to have happen. You know, to be able to play for the NTTP and represent your country every day is something special. And, you know, just how hard we work there too, I think, you know, how can we compete and play against the top kids in the country, and to be able to go in international stages too, that's, you know, something that was really fun. And unfortunately, you know, took silver home in Germany.
One thing that was really impressive to me, now you led the program in points per game, but you also had 20 points in 15 games against NCAA opponents, which is quite impressive, 8 goals. Is that something you really got up for, playing against those college programs?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's something, you know, we kind of talked about in the diary a little bit. It's just, you know, it's easier to get up against, like, the teams like North Dakota, the Minnesota teams. And, you know, then you go back to the USHL. It's, you know, just kind of a little setback. But, you know, it's kind of just something that, you know, you need to keep your mind in it and, you know, just play the same way every game.
So growing up in Pittsburgh, were you Team Malkin or Team Crosby? If you're out playing road hockey with your buddies, who are you kind of – who do you want to be more?
To be honest, I'm Team Ovi.
Wow.
Yeah, big Capitals fan growing up, so I just love the way, you know, Ovi plays the game, the way he competes, the, you know, the way he celebrates goals, and, you know, how good of a goal scorer he is. So
we might have to make sure you're safe going back there. I know Ovi's not really all that well regarded in Pittsburgh because of the rivalry, but I want to ask, you know, a few years ago we had Vincent Trocheck and Brandon Saad and JT Miller and John Gibson, all Pittsburgh guys, all got drafted in the first two rounds. I'm curious, when you're coming up through youth hockey there, what's youth hockey like in Pittsburgh, and how challenging was it for you to kind of come up and develop and grow your game in that system?
Yeah, I mean, I played at the Pens League for 5 years. You know, when I first moved out there to play for them, they just, you know, built the new rink, UPMC Lemieux Sports Complex. And I think, you know, the way they develop their players nowadays, it's only getting better from here. I think, you know, even the town in Pittsburgh is, you know, only growing. It's getting more of a, you know, hockey town feel. And I think, you know, like you said, the way they've been developing players is, you know, second to none. I think, you know, with their strength and conditioning coaches, even the on-ice coaches they have there, only push you to be at your best every single day. And I think, you know, it's starting to show.
You also played at the Little Penguins program that run by Sid. He helps run that program. And I think it was the inaugural season, 08-09, I think that was. But how did that kind of get you into hockey? Kind of, I would imagine, what, you were 5, 6 years old at the time?
Yeah, I was around 5 or 6 years old. And, you know, my whole family kind of grew up around hockey. I have 2 brothers that played. Both my uncles played hockey. So it's kind of something that, you know, my family knew that, you know, I was most likely going to like. You know, and it's something that, you know, we talked about that, you know, anytime you get to be on the same ice as Sidney Crosby is a true honor. And, you know, anytime you could, you know, get anything and put into your game is, you know, something special too.
So, all right, I want to ask you a couple of hard-hitting questions about your teammates. There's a lot of them here. So who's the toughest defenseman to go against on your team?
I'd say Ryan Chesley, just how big he is. I think, you know, he's hard to get around and, you know, a good skater too.
Who's the funniest guy on your team?
I'd say Isaac Howard. Yeah. Yeah, he's a pretty good character and, you know, a funny guy to be around.
All right, who's the guy you'd least like to be trapped in an elevator with?
Jimmy Snuggerud. I think, you know, that dude has a crazy mind, and, you know, I don't think that would be good.
How about the U18s? I mean, I know it was a tough finish for you guys. You were the top forward there. Talk about the U18s, your performance, how you felt you performed there.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, you know, I showed some spurts of, you know, what I could do. You know, I'd like to, you know, contribute a little more, produce a little more. You know, still, you know, put up some decent numbers, but, you know, I'd like to have produced, like I said, a little more, especially in the bigger games against Sweden. You know, but, you know, I thought we had a great showing too. You know, we ran into a hot goalie, you know, and then we kind of took some undisciplined penalties that kind of cost us, and they had a good power play and they capitalized on it. So, again, it was a fun experience and something that, you know, I'm happy to be a part of. Just wish we had got the gold medal.
Is there anything about your game, Logan, that you feel is underrated? People don't talk about enough.
You know, maybe my two-way game. I think, you know, it still is talked about, but, you know, that's something that, you know, I'm still taking a lot of pride in, and something that, you know, I want to continue to get better on is my two-way game and, you know, continue to improve it. And, you know, that's something that, you know, I want to be. And, you know, if hopefully I play in the NHL, and that's a player I want to be as a two-way player, and, you know, to only make that better.
So you're doing something a lot of people aren't going to get to do and experience this combine. You've gone through a couple of interviews already. Take us through what it's been like just meeting with the teams, going through these interviews, and sort of just going through this process while you're up here.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that you dreamed about ever since you were a little kid, is to have this opportunity and play in the NHL. So I'm just trying to soak it all in, enjoy the process. You know, it's pretty cool meeting the teams and, you know, getting to know that one of these teams could be a team that you're selected by. So I think like I said, to enjoy the process and just have fun with it.
Your family's filled with athletes, pretty much. Hockey players, right?
Yeah, so I also have a great uncle that was inducted into the Hall of Fame in the NFL. He played for the Pittsburgh Steelers. His name's Jack Butler. So, you know, that's my grandma's brother, so that's pretty cool there. And then, obviously, like you said, I have two uncles that both played high levels, two brothers that played high levels. So, you know, we're a pretty athletic family, and, you know, it's fun to, you know, be around them.
So you're going to go to college. How long do you think you're going to need before you're ready to pull on an NHL jersey and get in a game?
Yeah, I think, you know, right now I have the skills and all the attributes to, you know, be a impact player in the NHL right now. I think it's just going to come down to, you know, my physical aspects of the game and, you know, continue to get stronger, fill up my body a little more. And I think, you know, once I do that, then everything will come into place and I think I can make the jump.
That was going to be my next question. Like, what's the focus of the offseason? You know, it's going to be a very compacted summer. Maybe playing World Juniors, you're going to have an NHL development camp possibly, but what are you going to kind of spend your offseason focusing on, working on to try to get better at?
Yeah, like I said, continue to get stronger, continue to lift weights. I think, you know, on the ice, I'm looking forward to, you know, getting my shot a little harder, more accurate. Being able to score on the outside a little more is definitely something that, you know, I'm focusing on right now.
I know at first, Logan, you committed to Notre Dame and then you decommitted and now University of Minnesota. Why that change? Why did you make that change there?
Yeah, I mean, I was 14 years old when I committed to Notre Dame. You know, I was really young. I didn't know too much about it. And, you know, as I got older, I just felt like, you know, the campus and, you know, the rink and everything that went into it, the style is just wasn't my exact fit. I couldn't really see myself there. And, you know, I just wanted to make the change that could develop me into, you know, an NHL player the fast way possible. And I think with Minnesota, you know, we're going to have a heck of a team next year and, you know, a really good coaching staff that, you know, could help me get better. So that's what my focus was.
I want to go back. This is the last one for me. Going back to the possibility of you being the number one pick, you know, what would it mean to you personally to have that sort of follow you around? There's some pressure that goes with it, but it's also a nice thing to have on your resume. What would it mean to you personally if Montreal goes up there at the podium and says, we select Logan Cooley with the first pick?
Yeah, I mean, everything. I think, you know, no one ever wants to be a second. You always want to be the top guy. And, you know, that's who I am as a person and as a player, too. I always want to be the best. And, you know, I think over the 2 years I've showed that, you know, I put a lot of hard work to get to this point. And, you know, I also want to go to a team that wants me to. I don't want to go to, you know, someone that, you know, thinks that I could be good or maybe doesn't know for sure. But, you know, I want to go to a team that, you know, has full confidence in me and that, you know, I could help them win a few championships and be a, you know, impactful player for them.
You played a lot of hockey this year, and you were great in everything that you participated in. What are you most proud about that, you know, after this season, looking back, what went on? What are you most proud about what you were able to accomplish this season?
Yeah, I think coming into the 18 year, you know, especially the summer showcase too, you know, I had a really good showing there. And I think being a double underager and making the World Junior team was something that was pretty special to me, to be able to go over there and, you know, represent your country at a world stage. And, you know, World Juniors is, you know, a really highly televised thing that a lot of people like to watch. And I thought that was, you know, something that was really cool to be a part of.
Logan, how special have them draft hires been? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool, it's unreal. Stuff, right? Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, it's something that, like you said, it was pretty cool when, you know, I heard about it and, you know, I like how it's going.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for coming on NHL Draft Class. It's been a pleasure. Best of luck to you here and at the draft, and we'll see you again.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Great stuff there from Logan Cooley. Mike, a lot of great stuff there to talk about. What stood out to you?
Well, the fact that, you know, Logan Cooley right now is in that mix of possibly going number one, right, Adam? Mm-hmm. We can't dismiss that fact. If he doesn't go one, then there's always that chance that maybe he slips in there to the Devils because, and we've talked about this in previous episodes, the fact that maybe Logan Cooley comes in a year or two after, you know, a year or two at the University of Minnesota, and they have him play wing alongside Jack Hughes or Nico Hischier. But he's going to be somewhere in that three. Just, I mean, we heard the confidence in this kid, what he can bring. He was a leader for that NTTP program. We had David Gregory on NHL Draft Class, you know, last week, and David was talking about the NTTB program, and I had asked him, you think they're going to set a record this year, Cooley being the top of the pack there. But there are 9 players on that program that are ranked among the top 32. There are 4 players ranked among the top 11. David talked about those, so you can check that episode out. But I like what Cooley brings to the table, an elite skater, high offensive skills. And it's that skating and that edginess about his game. And he did talk about that, how he can play with an edge.
Yeah, and it's that competitiveness, right? Like, we had Adam Nightingale, the former coach of the NTTP, on a previous episode of Draft Class, and he said what stood out to him about Cooley, beyond the obvious numbers on the back of the hockey card, the goals, assists, the points, it's the competitiveness, it's the work ethic, it's desire to be a really, really strong two-way player. But to me, what really stood out is there's a nice little swagger to Cooley, right? When I asked him, well, how long till you're NHL ready, he said, 1 year college, right? There was no hesitation. He thinks he's ready to be an impact player now.
Yeah.
You know, he just needs to get bigger and stronger. Like, he's ready to go. Like, he's a kid who doesn't hope he's going to be the number one pick. I kind of got the vibe. He almost thinks he should be the number one pick. He thinks he's the best player in this draft. And I'm not going to tell him he's wrong. I think it's great to have that attitude. I would want to have, if I'm a GM, I want to hear that attitude from the guy I'm considering picking. I want to hear that, yeah, I'm the best. Who are you to say, who are you to tell me otherwise? Yeah. I think it's great. I think it's, you know, will he go number one? I mean, you look at our mock drafts, we obviously feel the same way that he's going to go number three. You know, I have my reason for why he's not going to go to the Devils, and you kind of touched on it a little bit. You know, the Devils kind of have their center structured with Jack Hughes and Nico Hischier and Dawson Mercer. And I know Mercer's played all three forward positions, but I think in an ideal world, you would know better than I, because you cover the Devils, they'd like to have Mercer be in the middle. They'd like to have him play his natural position. So where then would Logan Cooley fit in? Would you move him to the wing? Would you move one of those other centers to the wing? To me, if you can take Yuri Slavkovsky, who's, I think, unanimous among us at least, the best wing player available in the draft, I think you take him. And then if you're the Arizona Coyotes sitting at number three, you're happy to, absolutely, I'll take Logan Cooley. And as I'm rebuilding my roster, he absolutely looks like a good guy to build around. So I think, you know, if I'm sitting there and I'm New Jersey and there's a guy that might be best player available as well as a position of need, and if I'm the Arizona Coyotes, it's kind of the same thing. Best player available also fills a position of need.
Absolutely.
So that's just my thought process to why I think Cooley is going to go three.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, on top of all that, I mean, we heard about his upbringing. And I think while we're not really sure where he might land in this draft, I think it's safe to say that he will be the highest drafted Pittsburgh area player in the history of
yes,
the draft.
Yes, I think that's... Well, and, you know, speaking of Pittsburgh, what I really liked about him, when I asked him, you know, are you Team Crosby, Team Malkin? And he said, no, I'm Team Ovechkin.
Yes.
So I wonder if he has to clear that with the Pennsylvania State Patrol when he goes back to Pittsburgh, if he's allowed to be allowed back in. Because rivalry's kind of feisty.
Could you imagine, like, and I'm sure he went to a lot of Pittsburgh Penguins home games, if Washington were, you know, the visiting team, with his family there, mom, dad, brothers, sisters, and they're cheering for Pittsburgh, and here's, you know, Logan with the Ovi jersey on. Holy smokes.
Well, you know what? If he's as confident as he was with us, I guess I absolutely could see him doing it, right?
Yeah.
He's got no fear when he goes in these meetings with Hall of Famers and NHL scouts, and why would he have fear there? I mean, sure, why not? I'll wear my Ovi jersey to PPG Paints Arena. Why not?
Absolutely. And, you know, thinking of Logan Cooley and what he's been able to bring to the NTTP, plenty of players that are going to go in the first round from that program. It's going to be spectacular at the draft when they're in Montreal. And it'll be the first time Logan did tell me that it'll be his first trip to Montreal. So it'll be special for him.
And it's going to be special for us. We're looking forward to getting to Montreal for the draft July 7th and 8th. But what a time it's been up here in Buffalo at the Scouting Combine for the podcast. Great to catch up with the players. Hope you all enjoyed listening to us. You can follow all of our continuing coverage at NHL.com. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at NHL Adam K. Mike is at Mike Morial NHL. You can also go back and listen to previous episodes of NHL Draft Class. They are free to listen, available anywhere you get your podcast, free to download. Please leave us a 5-star review and tell us how much you love us.
Adam, we've had a great time here at the NHL Scouting Combine. Looking forward to the NHL Draft.
Absolutely. But for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.